mentioned last week that the Gemara says in the first Perek of Zion that before you break the chametz, you have to recite a bracha. The Gaonim have a machlokes with the later Rishonim regarding the bedikah of chametz. Is it permissible to be mafsik in the middle of the bedikah? So several of the Gaonim write in their tshuvas that you're not allowed to be mafsik from the time that you say the bracha, I'll be a chametz, till the end of the bittul, because that's what the mitzvah consists of. Last week that the Gemara says in the first Perek of Zion that before you break the chametz you have to recite a bracha. The Gaonim have a machlokes with the later Rishonim regarding the bedikah of chametz. Is it permissible to be mafsik in the middle of the bedikah? So several of the Gaonim write in their tshuvas that you're not allowed to be mafsik from the time that you say the bracha, I'll be a chametz, till the end of the bittul, because that's what the mitzvah consists of. The mitzvah, HaBedik Tzal Sheivatol, the Gemara says in the first Perek, right after the B'dikas Chametz, you have to do an act of B'dikul. So you're not really finished with this part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is going to have two different parts. One part is going to be the B'dikul with the B'dikul tonight, and the other part is going to be the B'ir, the destroying of the disposing of the Chametz tomorrow morning. So the bracha that you recite tonight should relate to the whole Maisa Mitzvah of the B'dikul with the B'dikul. So it's not proper to go and say to be mafsik until after you finish the bittul, and you give a mashal the ma'adav azayna to the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says that when a person puts on the tefillin, he puts on the tefillin shal yad, he should not be mafsik until after he puts on the tefillin shal roi, so the bracha will go on both. If the person is mafsik, then he's required to say another bracha over the shalosh. We shouldn't have a machlokes if you're not mafsik. So Rashi's opinion is that you only say one bracha on yach tefillah and over the shalyad, and that covers the shalosh. In the Tam and Tesis, in the end of bracha says no. And under normal conditions, you would say one bracha on the shalyad, on yach tefillah, one bracha on the shalosh, on mitzvah tefillah. If the person is mafsik in between the shalyad and the shalosh, then he has to say two brachas before he puts on the shalosh, both on yach tefillah and on mitzvah tefillah. But Chacham, the Gemara says, however you understand the Gemara, the Gemara says that that you're not permitted to be mafsik, so that the bracha will relate on the second Maisa Mitzvah as well. So here also, the person should not be mafsik between the bracha that he recites and the Gemara of the Mitzvah. The Rif, in the end of Rosh Hashanah, quotes this argument from the Gaonim regarding Tekiah Shofar as well, that the Gaonim made the same statement regarding Tekiah, same as by Bedikas Chametz. You shouldn't be mafsik until after all the Tekiahs are over, because the marshal from Hanachas Tefillin. So the Rif argues the point, and that's what many Rishonim argue, that there's no comparison by Tefillin Shal Yad, Tefillin Shal Rosh, two distinct mitzvahs. So you want to kill two birds with one stone, you want to cover two mitzvahs with one bracha, but that requires you shouldn't be mafsik. The ikadin of hefsik is in between the bracha and haskolas maisa hamitzvah. So the Rishonim give a marshal, let's say a person eats bread, so he says, Hamotzi lachem min haaretz. So if he talks in between the bracha and the first swallow of bread that he has, so then he has to repeat the bracha again. There's a diun in Achrayim, the Magen Avraham says that on chewing bread you don't have to say a bracha, on chewing food you don't say a bracha, only on swallowing food. So the Magen Avraham says that people have a practice that they say a bracha and then they put the food in their mouth and they start chewing, and they start talking right away before they even swallow. The Magen Avraham says the bracha is a bracha l'atola, and they have to say the bracha over again, they're not yotze, because chewing doesn't need a bracha. The bracha wasn't chal until after they swallowed. And some try to farem for the minik olam to say that maybe it's not so bad, that if they only chew and they spit it out, then you don't require a bracha for chewing alone. That's correct, but if they chew and ultimately they do swallow what they're chewing, maybe I can consider the chewing the haskalah of the achila, in which case I'll say that it wasn't a hefsik, it wasn't so much of a hefsik. The Rashash and Adorim tries to be miyashiv the minig olam that the Magen Avraham complains against. Magen Avraham says that it's absolutely wrong and you have to repeat the bracha if you spoke after you started chewing. The Rashash tries to tone it down a little bit. Anyway, for hatchila for sure it's not right. So the din is that after the person takes the first swallow of bread, or let's say he says shahakal and he eats chicken or whatever happens to be eating, so if he swallows a little bit, he's permitted to talk. There is no halacha that you're not allowed to talk till after you finish eating everything. So heard the same thing over here. You see that the bracha only has to be mitzuref to the haskalas or achila. And if you're mafsik, you mean with the bracha and haskalas or achila, then you have to say another bracha. Unless he's mafsik, the dvorim, shehem le tzarach hasudah, he says, havi melach, havi sakin, or something like that. So then, but yeah, the Gemara says a bracha, it doesn't have to be chayzim levarach. But l'chatchil, you have to avoid that also. And if he's mafsik midvam she'enim mitzorchi asuda, then he has to repeat the bracha. So the same is true the rishonim tainim regarding mitzvahs. If the person would be mafsik between the bracha and haschalos ma'isa mitzvah before he begins to blow the first tikiyah, so then he has to say the bracha over again. Unless he's mafsik with tzorach hatkiyus, he says havi shofar acher. He says, get another bal tekeh, I can't blow. Or, get me a machzor, I don't know what I'm supposed to blow. Or, he says something, l'tzarech hatkiyus, then b'dyavad it wouldn't be a hefsik. But a hefsik shelo l'tzarech hatkiyus would be a hefsik. But in the middle of the tekeh, that should be like in the middle of eating, that it should be hefsik omen, it should even be mutar l'chatchila to be mafsik. How can there be a sheep in goyim that even b'dyavad you have to repeat the bracha by tekeh shayfer, like by tefillin? What's the comparison by tefillin that tefillin shal rosh that you're going to put on later as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma? So if you're talking between the shal yad and the shal rosh, you're being mafsik between the bracha and the haschol of ma'isa mitzvah shniya. But over here, it's in the middle of the ma'isa mitzvah, so either should be mamsh the same as achila, that it's even mutar l'chatchila to talk in the middle, or at least that the b'di'evad you shouldn't have to repeat the bracha. So that's the same achlokes that the rishonim have over there by tekiyah shofar. They have repeated over here by the B'dikas Chumash that the Goyim say you're not allowed to be mafsik till the Gemar HaB'dika, which includes also the Bittul, till you recite the Bittul, but it's also Shevata. And the later Rishonim argue that they don't see that this is so. They say maybe it makes sense not to be mafsik because you'll pay better attention to the B'dikas Chumash. If you're not talking about anything else other than B'dikas Chumash, so you'll be paying more attention. You're going to be talking about everything else under the sun, so you may not pay sufficient attention to B'dikas Chumash. But to say there's such a severe chumer that you have to repeat the bracha, ad kedei kach, they're not prepared to say. Anyway, it's clear from the Gemara that the B'dikas Chumash we discussed last week, the B'dikas Chumash is not only to avoid violation of Bal Yiroh by Matzim, to avoid violation of Shem Yavul Yochlo, to avoid violation of Yisru Achila, it's also a Kiyum HaMitzvah, even in the Rabbanan, or perhaps even in the Torah. The Haskalas HaBiur is the B'dika. That's probably why the Mishneh Berurah quotes a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. Chelek Baruch Hu, the Chasam Sofer just says it. He doesn't give any hesber for this. He says, what if you have a big apartment and you have a couple of rooms where you're going to leave chametz there? See, in the cabinet where you're going to leave the chametz, there's no need to be by the chametz, unless B'dika's chametz. You know that cabinet is all full of chametz. The rest of the room you are going to be by the chametz. But why should a person, let's say, has a 14-room apartment? Why should I be? I don't need so many rooms on Pesach. Let's say a couple of rooms. I'll lock up. Sure. I'll lock up the rooms. And I'll, like the cabinet, I'm not very chametz. So the rooms that I don't plan to use on Pesach, I'll lock them up. And I'll rent them. I plan to rent them to the guy. So just like whatever I plan to rent to the guy, the cabinet I plan to rent to the guy, I don't have to be very chametz. So the rooms I plan to rent to the guy shouldn't have to be very chametz. Or maybe even make it better. When it comes Leil Yud Dalet, I'm chayiv to be Bayit Chametz, so let me rent it to the Goy ready on Yom Yud Gimel. Let me rent it ready to the Goy, because on Leil Yud Dalet, I plan to rent it to the Goy, but I didn't rent it yet. So let me rent it to the Goy on Yom Yud Gimel, and I'll be patur from doing the B'dikas Chametz on those rooms. So is that acceptable or not? So, and if Imtim Salema, that's acceptable. So let's say the guy's going to his in-laws, he's going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. He doesn't plan to come back. He's not going to use his apartment. He didn't prepare any food for Pesach. And even if something comes up, he's going to have to come back. He's going to stay by his parents. He's not going to stay in his own apartment. He's going to stay by the in-laws. Whatever. He's going to stay somewhere. He's not going to stay in his own apartment. So maybe he should rent the whole apartment away. Save himself the whole headache. Rent away the whole 14 rooms. Rent away the whole apartment and not be very comfortable. So the Chasam Sofer quotes the tshuva from the Mishneh Berurah, quotes the tshuva from the Chasam Sofer in the middle of Hilchas B'dikas Chametz, where he says that as long as you leave some room out, as long as you leave a room out that you're going to be very comfortable on, you can rent all the other 13 rooms to the goy. That's okay. But if you're going to rent away all 14 rooms to the goy, you're not going to be very comfortable at all. So then you mevatel a mitzvah? That's not right. What exactly is the hesber hadover? It makes a difference whether you rent 13 out of the 14 rooms and you leave one room to be bodik, or you rent all 14 rooms? What's the difference? He doesn't explain it. I'm guessing, it's the same difference as we have to practice all the long. Let's see, we have a ton of chametz in the house. So what do? 99% of the chametz we sell to the goy, and then 1% of the chametz we destroy. So what's the Hezbar HaDover? How come we sell? Why don't we sell 100% of the chametz to the goy? Why do we save anything to destroy? So Mestama, the answer is that we won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Achbe Yom Rishon Tashbisu cannot be fulfilled by selling the chametz to the goyim. The mitzvah is fulfilled by destroying it. Tashbisa means not by getting money. Let's say you're going to eat the chametz. Are you on fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu by eating the chametz? There's a humorous expression that the Baal HaMor has. The Baal HaMor says that yes, when you eat the chametz and erpes, ein lecha hashbasak dan mizu. He says that's the best form of hashbasak. And then he writes even a lashon that even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then ein ber chametz ala b'seifa, it gets burnt up in your system. A little bit humorous, but you learn it out from Noisar. So that's also called Eish. Eish means a fire, no? I don't know, even if you'll burn it in a microwave oven. Let's say you put something in the microwave for too long, the stomach gets burnt. I don't think you'll be Yotze Sreifa with that. Sreifa means a fire, not with some getting it consumed, getting it burnt up without a fire. So you have to have a heft of an Eish in order to be Yotze the mitzvah. In the body, there's no, it doesn't get burnt up. The Pashtus is not like the Baal HaMor. Pashtus is like Taisus. Taisus says the Feirush that you're not in fulfillment of Tashbisu if you eat the Chometz. Taisus writes that Tashbisu, we spoke last week, that Tashbisu is both a Kiyum Esay and a Nisar Esay. That's why they say the Bracha Al Bir Chometz. Obviously it's a Kiyum Esay. You don't say Bracha when you do something to avoid violation of a Nisar Esay. But Tashbisu is both a Kiyum Esay and a Nisar Esay. And Taisus says the Yisr Esay is that you shouldn't eat the chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. That's the Yisr Esay. Not eat the chametz Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it's understood that Tashbisa means you should destroy it, not in a fashion of getting Hanoah. If you're going to, let's say, burn, if you're going to sell the chametz to a goy, then you're getting Hanoah. So that's not the fulfillment of Tashbisa. Taisus understands that by definition, the word Tashbisa means Shaloi B'derach Achilu, Shaloi B'derach Shal Hanoah. Tashbisa means Hashbasa, to destroy it. There's even a Machleik Esatanoim. The Gemara quotes himself in the Machlekes from Maseches Avodah Zarah. Let's say a person will be Mefarer Bezorah LaRuach HaMata LaYam. So Rabbi Yehuda held Zein B'Yacham Selah B'Sreifah. The Chacham Hol HaShbasasa B'Chol Dabah. What's called HaShbasasa B'Chol Dabah? So you grind it up, you flush it down the toilet, that's good. Or Zorah Mata LaYam. You throw it into the ocean, it's going to get all soggy, all ruined in the ocean. Fine. What if you're going to be Mefarer Bezorah LaRuach? And then the Ruach will... Not in the city, New York City. You'll be in the Mefarer Bezorah LaRuach and a farm. Years ago, there used to be farms. There's still some places that have farms in the world. So the farms, if you're going to have Mefarer Bezorah LaRuach, this stuff may serve as fertilizer to cause something to grow better on the farm. Not on my farm, on someone else's farm. But it's going to be Derech HaNor. So the Gemara and the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah raises the objection. Afu Nasa Zevel, Umezabel Sodas Acheris. So if it's going to serve as fertilizer for farm, how can you call that Dior Avodah Zarah? The Gemara makes a comparison between Hashbasas Avodah Zarah and Hashbasas Chometz, Kodem HaPesach. So, Bior Avodah Zarah means Shaloi Boif and Shal Hanoah. Not that you should get Hanoah out of it, not that you should not get Hanoah, no one should get any Hanoah out of it. Gamli Gamlach Lo Yir. No one should get any Hanoah out of it. So, if I'm going to be Mefarer Bezorah LaRuach, and it may possibly serve as a fertilizer to improve the growth of some of the vegetation on somebody's field, so then one Tana argues that that's not called Hashbasas Avodah Zarah, Bior Avodah Zarah. The other Tana I'm home. I don't know what's going to happen because a far-fetched possibility, something like that may happen, so it's already called not a fulfillment of the Dior of Avodah Zarah. But you see such a svara from the Mishnah, that's where Taisus and Psochen got the svara from that Mishnah and Avodah Zarah. The Imam Psochen quotes that Mishnah and Avodah Zarah, that if you're going to be Majbis the Avodah Zarah in a form that you're going to get Hanoah from it, then it's not called the fulfillment of the Mitzvah of Tashbisu. So how does one fulfill the mitzvah? You have chametz on Erev Pesach. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbis? You have to get rid of it. You have to dispose of it. So how come we sell 99% of the chametz and we only burn... The Mishnah Berurah says you should be careful that you leave over kazayas to destroy. How is that enough? And what about the other 99%? So the Pashtus is, it's not considered a fatter and a bigger and a better mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah Yosef Bishlei Musa if the person burns a ton of chametz as opposed to burning 1% of the ton of chametz. Let him sell 99% as long as he has left the kazayis, and then he's going to destroy, he's going to burn that kazayis, so he'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. One could perhaps argue the case and say that he has to see to it that he first sells the 99% of the chametz first, and then he should burn the 1% of the chametz. If he's going to first burn the chametz, let's say the Ramah says in Hilchas Pesach that if you daven in the early minyan, the Hashkama minyan, let's say, at 5:45 in the morning, and then you finish davening at 6:01, whatever time they finish davening, you have a place, or make the same chorus at 6:04, let's say, you have your schnapps and you have your cookies, then you want to burn your chametz at 6:06, So the Rambam says, that's okay, you can burn your chametz in the morning. That's the issue we mentioned last week. The Kes Mishnah had two pshatim, the end of Perek Aleph and chametz and matzah had two pshatim, how to read the Mishnah. The Sorf and Betchila Sheish, do you take it literally Sorf and Betchila Sheish? Or no, we don't follow that, Sorf and Betchila Sheish. We burn Besof Chomesh. Once you say Besof Chomesh, so there's no requirement that the Sreifa should be Achazmani Surah, so that it can be at 6:05 also in the morning. So the Rambam says if he wants to, he can burn the chametz in the morning also, before you go to work. Yeah, the Rambam wrote this in the 1500s before they had the institution of Mechivas Chametz. They didn't have such an institution. They didn't have such a thing as breads and cakes and spaghettis that could last for a long time. That schnapps that they had, that schnapps and beer they had. But they didn't have such an institution of Mechivas Chametz. Everybody signed up with the rabbi and the rabbi told everybody's Chametz. That's a much more recent development. As Klal Yisrael goes through the history, we keep on solving more and more problems. So we figure out they had the Mechira for Shnas HaShmita. We figured out Miro Liakum to solve all the problems. Al Shabbos, we're solving all the problems. How to observe Torah in the 21st century. We're working on everything. The Siyum Tainus Pcheres. Years ago, they really used to fast on Erev Pesach. People really used to fast. And then in the days of Nedev Yehuda, they came up with a patent that they'll always have a bris on Erev Pesach. But how can you always secure that you're going to have a bris on Erev Pesach? So that whenever there would be a mila, there would be a nitche, whenever there would be a bris mila, that the baby wasn't well, they had a postmortem, so they would save the bris for Erev Pesach, in order that they would have, why should the rabbi have to learn all mesichta? Even a short mesichta, it's a tircha, so they would save a bris. And Nadi Yehuda has a tshuva where he's very opposed to that. He says for two reasons, very short tshuva. He says, number one, he doesn't think that it's permissible to postpone, even though the bris is a nitche, you're not allowed to further postpone. Rav Avraham has a long attack against that. He says, you're mevatel the mitzvah. Every day that you postpone further, every minute you postpone further, you're mevatel the mitzvah. That's number one that Eddie Behuda says. He doesn't think you're allowed to postpone further. Then he says, number two, he's not so convinced that the Sudas Bris Mila, when it's a nitche, is enough of a Sudas mitzvah to allow you to eat. He thinks maybe you're not allowed to eat. Maybe it's only if it's a Mila Bismana. Maybe if it's a party by Mila Shlav Bismana, maybe there's no head to feed. So obviously they didn't have the institution of a Siyum on Tainus Chores. That's a later development. Some genius in the later generation, Einstein or someone on that level, came up with this idea, make a Siyum on Tainus Chores. In fact, you don't have to fit. I remember Rabbi Tendler told us years ago that there was some Rabbanim who had made a Siyum, who used to make a Siyum on the Orach HaShulchan and Hilchos Pesach. They wouldn't make a Siyum on a Mesichta. The Orach HaShulchan has a lot on Pesach. That's more than a lot of Mesichta. The Orach HaShulchan and Hilchos Pesach is so big. It's more than Hyrius, it's more than Marcus, more pages, more words. So there were some Rabbanim that would make a Siyum on the Orach HaShulchan and Hilchos Pesach, and that would be the Siyum on Tainus Chores. Anyway, so this institution of Mechivas Chometz came up after the days of the Ramah. Mishnah Berurah quotes it already. It's around 150, 200 years old. Didn't really exist in the days of the Ramah. In the early years, the liquor manufacturers, the schnapps manufacturers used to have a Mechivas Chometz. Or the Tosefta talks about the Mechivas Chometz, the Jew is traveling on a boat, and he's going to be on the boat for another 2 months. He's going from one place to the other, not such a, but he's going to be on the boat for 2 months, and he needs food. So he took along bread and so on, and then he has to sell it to the goy. He can't dispose of everything before Pesach. He won't have any kosher food left. So then, Belay's Brera, he sells the chametz to the goy on the boat, if there's a goy with him, and then he buys it back after Pesach is over. So the Sharoshim, the roots of the whole institution appear in the Tosefta, but in the days of the Tanoim, it was only practiced in rare instances. Now, Bizman Azeh, we have it by everybody does the Mechiras Chametz done. Many Gdolim were opposed to it. So it could possibly be that the Eitzah that the Ramah says, if you want, you can burn your Chametz at 6 o'clock in the morning. That could well be that that's only before the institution of Mechiras Chametz. But if you're going to do Mechiras Chametz, so what do you accomplish by burning 1% of your Chametz and then you still have 99% of the ton of Chametz? And how are you going to dispose of that? By selling it. The rabbi is going to sell it for you later on in the day. If he first sells 99% and then you have left a little chametz of kazais and then you destroy that, then you mevire that chametz, so that's a fulfillment of tashbisa. But it could be that if you reverse the order, first you destroy a little bit and then you sell the bulk of the chametz, it could be that that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah.
I think the way a person is supposed to learn is that if a person doesn't have his own apartment or his own chametz, it could be a little deal.
That's this Minchas Chinuch raises such a possibility. He says that maybe there's an inyan to go out on Erev Pesach to buy some chametz. If you don't have any, maybe you should go buy some chametz in order to have like there's an Indian to go buy an Arba Kamfis in order to put on tzitzit. Strictly speaking, if you don't have a four-corner garment, you're not mechayiv to put on tzitzit. It's a mitzvah shel tanai. Let's say if I don't have a home that has a roof, so I'm not mechayiv to buy a home in order to make a market. Not mechayiv. Or if I'm I sleep in the park, I'm not mechayiv to go rent a home in order to have a chiyuv, buy a home in order to have a chiyuv mezuzah. It's a conditional mitzvah. If you live in a house, then you have to put a mezuzah. If you have a house with a roof that you use, you have to put a mark. But the Rishonim say on the Gemara in Menachos that there is an inyan to go buy a four-corner garment in order to put yourself in an obligation, in a situation, in a circumstance where you're obligated to put on tzitzit. So that's where the Menachos Chinuch raises a possibility. Maybe everyone who doesn't have any chametz should go buy chametz on Erev Pesach in order to have what to destroy. The Pashtus says that's not. The Pashtus says that it's like, let's say, my firstborn child was a girl. So should I go divorce my wife in order to marry another woman, in order to try to have a boy, in order to get piggy? And then I may lose out the second, I have to divorce the second wife again. Then the third wife may have a cesarean, then I have to marry a fourth wife, keep on going. So maybe that's too much. Maybe you're not mechuyev so far to go on the fourth wife. Maybe to get rid of the first wife, maybe you are mechuyev in order to try to have to get on that. So the answer is probably not mechuyev. Nish mechuyev. So that's the question. Some mitzvahs, you say that it's an inyan to put yourself in a situation where you become obligated to observe the mitzvah. And other mitzvahs, you say, not mechuyev to put yourself. So that's what the Menachos Chinuch raises the possibility. Maybe whoever does not come should go put himself in a circumstance and buy some chametz. But the Pashtus, we assume that not. The Pashtus, we assume that that it's not like tzitzis. No, so when I sell a chametz in the morning, of course, in the afternoon it's an Isser. Taisa says the Isser Esser Tashbisu is in the afternoon. And the Rabbanan an hour before the afternoon. Yisano begins B'Shor Shishis. But before, we sell a chametz before B'Shor Shishis, so there's no Isser. The Isser essay of not to be nene from the chametz, not to eat it, not to sell it, that only begins after Chatzos Min HaTorah. Or now before Chatzos Min HaTorah. There wouldn't be an Isser, but there wouldn't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah either if you sell it in the morning. So if you want to fulfill the mitzvah, so last night you said a bracha, I'll be your chametz. But if then all the chametz that you get, you're either going to eat it, or you're going to sell it. Then you're not going to have anything to destroy. So what you say, a bracha, I'll be a chametz. It's a bracha of Atala. If you're not going to lead up to any deer. So you have to leave over a kazayas and burn it. So the Pashto says that this is not considered a harame. Let's say if I'll sell all of the chametz, that's not considered a harame, using a legal fiction in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah. If I sell all of the chametz and I don't leave anything over to destroy, that's a harame in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. But if I sell 99% of the chametz and I leave over one kazayas, so I'm fulfilling the mitzvah on the one kazayas. It's a bigger mitzvah, it's a fatter mitzvah, it's more bishleimus if I burn a ton of chametz, as opposed to just burning a little bit. No, you just burn a little bit and it's the same, however much chametz you happen to have left. That's the mitzvah to burn it. If you have less than a kazayas, there's no mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, leave over kazayas, but you can sell the 99 or the 999 kazayas to the goy beforehand, and then burn the one kazayas. So the Pashtus probably is that that's what the Chasam Soif and the Tshuva is driving at as well. That the Bedikas Chametz is also a mitzvah, either Midirabonon or Minatera, that's the Haskol of the mitzvah of the Biur, Bediko Biur. Say if I'm going to rent the whole 14 apartment, the whole 14 rooms of the apartment to the Nochmin, I won't do any Bedikas Chametz at all. So I've done a Harameh in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah. So that's improper. But if I'll only rent 13 rooms of the apartment to the goy, preferably I'll rent it to the goy ready on the 13th of Nisan. The Chasam Soif is even makel if you plan to rent it. Leil B'dikas Chametz, you already have a mzin, you already have a mind to rent it to the Nochri in the morning of the 14th. So he says, but I'm only renting away 13 rooms. In the 14th room, I will fulfill the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz. So that's like, he doesn't make the mashal, but that's the same as selling 99% of the Chametz, leaving over one kazayas in order to fulfill the mitzvah on the one kazayas. So harama on that would be okay. Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, used to be machmeh. He used to tell about the balabatim and yeshiva. Every year he used to have this like a hang-up. He used to insist that you're not allowed to sell the chametz b'yen. That's what it says in one of the achronim, the Tu Ashor. The Tu Ashor wrote a sefer on Pesachim on Shas. That's called Teres Chaim. So the Teres Chaim has like that based on the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos says that harama is only permitted under Rabbanans and harama is not allowed on their rice. Gemara Shabbos is talking about a different thing. Gemara Shabbos tells a story. There was a Talmud Chacham who lived on this side of the river. And there was a ferry that went across every day, free of charge. I guess the people pay taxes, and everything was covered. You didn't have to pay for using the ferry every time you want to use it. So there's a, and this Talmid Chacham lived on this side of the river, and his fields were on the other side of the river. And he was interested in taking a look on Shabbos, see what he's doing with his fields. He wanted to go take a walk there. But how does he get from one side of the river to the other? So he's going to go on the ferry. But you're not allowed to go on the ferry. There's a din, Ein Shotem Apnei Amayim. Ein Shotem usually is mistranslated that you're not allowed to go swimming. The Gemara says in Perek Kira, in the third Perek on Masechah Shabbos, that that's also included in the Issa. But the original Issa, that's Lischos. Loshut is a different thing. Loshut is to row a boat. Ein Shotem Apnei Amayim, for example, the Mishnah says that the father, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the father has an obligation to teach his son Loshuta Bamayim, how to row a boat. It doesn't say how to swim. So it has to have, that's the literal translation. How to row a boat is Loshut. Chavish HaShayatim. Chavish HaShayatim means a boat, a shito, a shayat, is an oar. The Gemara says it's also included in the Issa that you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. But the main Issa is you're not allowed to row a boat on Shabbos. There is you may fix the broken boat. If you want to go swimming, what are you going to fix? You're going to sew up your swimming trunks. Whatever. So the Gemara says the Ikar, the Mishnah really talks about going on a boat. So you're not allowed to go on a boat on Shabbos, even if the boat is being driven by a goy. You're not allowed to go on a boat. So the Gemara tells the story in Masechah Shabbos that this Tzurim and the Rabban of this Talmid Chacham, the ferry was going to go at 12:15. So he went on the ferry at 11:45, and he made believe that he's taking a nap. And then at 12:15, the ferry takes off, goes to the other side of the river. Goes to the other side of the river, reaches there 12:45. All of a sudden he jumps up, he wakes up from his nap, and he jumps off of the boat. It was Techa Tzum, there was not Talmid Chacham. And he goes for a stroll on the other side. Oh, he's strolling. As he's strolling, he'll have to take a walk on Shabbos. As he's strolling, he takes a look. What's doing by his field? So he took care of it. So one of the Balabatim saw what was happening. So he complained to the Talmud Chacham's Rebbe, what kind of Mechal Shabbos are you raising in the yeshiva? He goes on a boat, on a ferry on Shabbos. We know that you're not allowed to do that. So the Talmud Chacham, so the Rebbe said about the Talmud Chacham, no, it's okay. It's the whole Issa is only Midirabbanon, the prohibition of going on a boat is only Xerah Dirabbanon, the Mishnah Beitza, and a Tzurva Midirabbanon is permitted to do a Haram on an Issa Dirabbanon, implying that a Balabas is not permitted to do a Haram even on an Issa Dirabbanon, and a Tzurva Midirabbanon is not allowed to do a Haram on an Issa Deraisa either. So that's what the Tvua Shor in the Sefer Toras Chaim Amsochim quotes from that Gemara, that you only allow Mechiras Chometz in order to avoid by Rabbi Matzah, that's an Issa Deraisa. And Mechiras Chometz is only a Harama. It's a legal fiction. Harama means a legal fiction. It's legal. Legal, but it's only, you're only selling it in order to buy it back. In the normal course of events, you're not interested in selling the Chometz of a Harai right after Pesach, you buy it back. So that's only called a Harama. So you're only allowed to do a Harama on a Derabbanan. Only a Tzur from a Derabbanan is allowed to do one on a Derabbanan. So how can you sell, how can you do a Mechiras Chometz on real Chometz Bien? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to recommend to all the Balabatim every year in Boston and in New York and the Yeshiva. He used to always repeat this, you're not allowed to sell Chametz Bien. He said when it comes to Taruvus Chametz, when it comes to Taruvus Chametz means if it's less than 50% Chametz. But then he said you can rely on the Rabbi Natam, the beginning of Elo Avrim, the third Perek in Pesachim, who has the opinion that Bal Yerah Bal Yimatzeh on Taruvus Chametz is not their rice. There's a machloek, it's how to translate the words Elo Avrim B'Pesach. And the Mishnah proceeds to mention Taruvus Chametz. So Rashi translates Elu Ovrim B'Bal Yerah B'Bal Yimatzeh. The following Chametz products, if one keeps it around the house, will be in violation of B'Bal Yerah. And the Rabbi Natam says it doesn't mean that. It means Ve'Elu Ovrim B'Yal HaShulchan. The following food should be removed from the menu. On Pesach, he should take it off of the table because you're not allowed to eat it. And maybe it is B'Bal Yerah Mid Rabbanim, but there's no B'Bal Yerah Derais. B'Bal Yerah Derais Elek. That's Machlok Rabbi Natam and Rashi. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say from the traditional Achrenim. It wasn't his invention. He said that a lot of Achrenim have such an idea that I'm Chametz Bien, means where the grain content of the mixture is more than 50%, that's Chametz Bien, then there's Bal Yerah Deraisa, so selling the Chametz would be a Haram and a Din Deraisa, which is not permissible. But selling Chametz and Taruvus Chametz, that's already Haram and a Din Rabbanan, that would be permissible. He said you can rely on the Rabbi Natam who holds that it's only Bal Yerah Derabbanan to allow Haram. Yeah, the question is, so you should only allow Tzurim Derabbanan to do Mechiras Chametz. So only Talmid HaChachamim can do Mechiras Chametz. But all the Balabatim sell the Chametz. So that's why they sell through the Rabbi. Nah. But a Balbar is not allowed to do Harama on a Darabbanah. Only a servant of Rabbanah is allowed to do Harama. So what's going on? So the Pasha Pshat is that that Gemara has nothing to do with anything. That's what the Nesivus writes in his Tshuvas. In Nachlas Yaakov, Simon Aleph, the first Tshuva the Nesivus writes, the Nesivus wrote a separate sefer on Hilchas Pesach that's called Mekor Chayim. And it has them. Now they printed from that in Aleph, they're always on the side. So he writes that in his sefer, the first Tshuva was sent to the B'chot Sherov. B'chot is a little village in Galicia. So he writes that the B'chot Sherov didn't like the heter on mechiras chametz. You shouldn't sell chametz. So the Nesivus says, I wrote in my sefer that it's mutter, and my psak was accepted all over Europe. If you don't like it, say, don't sell your chametz. But I hope you realize that everybody holds to my psak. That's what he wants. Why? He doesn't really explain it too well. So the pashtus is that that's not a problem of haramim. If you sell all of the chametz that you have, and it turns out that you don't destroy anything, then you're doing a haram in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisa. But that's not a common practice. Nobody sells all the chametz. You sell 99% of the chametz, you leave over it more than a kezayis to destroy. So your haram is not in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisa, but rather, tashbisa you're going to fulfill. If you sell 99% of the chametz, you'll fulfill tashbisa on the kezayis. The haram is done in order not to have to destroy the 99% of the in order not to violate by your by your matzah. It's a haram to prevent you from violating a license. A haram in order not to violate an aveira. It's not a haram in order not to have to fulfill the mitzvah sesi. The mitzvah sesi, at the end of the story, is going to be, I am fulfilling the mitzvah sesi. I'm fulfilling a kezayis. There's no bigger mitzvah to burn a thousand kezayis. Whatever I have left, that's what I burn. So I'm burning one kezayis. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. The harama is that I won't be in violation of Bayur Bay Matzah and a whole ton of chametz. So harama, in order to avoid violation of Eloi Sese, Alpi Pashtus, is certainly permissible. We only say harama is not proper on Mitzvah Sese. Harama on Eloi Sese is permissible. That's how Tesis distinguishes. In the beginning of Chorus, on Dav Gimel Amud Beis, Tesis says, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayom, the Gemara says that it was highly improper for a Jewish farmer to enter into a shutfus with a goy on the Behema HaMevakeres expressly for the purpose of becoming potter from the din of Bechor Behema Torah. If he has a business with a goy, so that's not haram. His partner is a non-Jew, so that's not haram. But if he only enters into the partnership specifically for the purpose of being potter from the problem of Bechor Behema Torah, so that's called a haram. So you're not allowed to do that bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim when you have an opportunity to be makriv the b'chor b'hemet Torah al-gabi ha-mukbeah. But bizman hazeh, Taisa says, not only is it permissible, it's a mitzvah we recommended that all the Jewish farmers should make a shutfus with the Akum. Why? Because bizman hazeh, we don't have the opportunity, we don't have the possibility to be makriv the b'chor b'hemet Torah as a korb. So what's the whole issue of b'chor b'hemet Torah? It's an Easter. The firstborn male will be born, and it will have Kedushas Korban, and will be prohibited from shechting it until it gets a mum, and will be forbidden to make a mum. It's also la'atul mum b'korban. So you're not allowed to make a mum, you're not allowed to shecht it until it gets a mum. Mistama, somebody will violate the din of Ne'ilah by mistake. Somebody will use the animal to work with it, or someone will put his jacket on the animal, somebody will ride on the animal. It's also the Giz of Avaido, the B'chor Behemet Tohira. Until it gets a mum and you shecht it, it has an Isar Hanor, either Menaterim, or the Rabbon, or whatever. So you want to do a shut v'sakum in order to prevent somebody from violating this avera of being nene from the animal. So it's a haram in order to avoid violation of an avera. It's not a haram in order to avoid being fulfilling a mitzvah sese. The mitzvah sese of hakrovas b'chor b'ema t'ayro ben kolakoy can't fulfill b'zman hazeh. Even if you won't make the shut v'sakum, we don't have a beis hamikdash, you can't fulfill the mitzvah. The haram is in order to avoid violation of the loy says. It's a place that says, Adara, but we would recommend it. We would encourage all the farmers to do it. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We encourage all the Jewish farmers to do this haram in order to avoid the violations of somebody being moel behegdish accidentally by mistake. So the pashtus is that that's the word by Mechiras Chametz also. This is a haram, and if you're going to sell all the chametz, you're going to rent all the whole apartment to the guy, not going to do any bedika, any biur, then it's a haram in order to become potter from fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. So that you're not allowed to do. But if you rent 13 out of the 14 apartments and you sell 99% of the chametz, leave over one room to be boidik and leave over one kezayis to do biura. So then you are fulfilling the mitzvah. And the fact that you're renting the 13 apartments That's a haram in order not to violate Bayur or Bay Matzah. I won't be having chametz in my apartment. I rented the whole 13 rooms to the goy. Or the fact that I sell 99% of the chametz to the goy, that's also, that's a haram on the loisese. That's okay. I think Gemara and Shabbos is a totally different thing, the Pashup Shabbos. Gemara and Shabbos are under Maise. The Tzurvim and the Rabbanim went on the ferry, he was outright in violation of the Issa de Rabbanim. He was riding on a ferry. He made it look like an accident. Made it look like an accident, but he's a faker. He knew that he was going to cross the river with the ferry. And then he made believe he was sleeping, then he made believe that he woke up. So that's outright in violation of the din. So how are you allowed to do that? That's what the Balabatim asked to his Rebbe. He's in violation of the Issa in the Mishnah. So the Rebbe said, look here, it's not a malacha deraisa, it's not even a malacha midirabbanim. It's a gzeira. You're not allowed to do this davar hamuta unless this will lead to a davar ha'asa. So b'med v'mamurim, the gzeira makes sense, b'med v'mamurim, by balabas. He doesn't know the didi. By Talmud Chacham, they really shouldn't have made such a gzeira, that he's not allowed to do the davar hamuta unless Shem Yisak M'chavish El Shayot. He knows what he's allowed to do, he knows what he doesn't allow, he's not allowed to do. But you can't allow all the Talmud Chachamim. Every Talmud Chacham who knows the reason for every gzeira will be permitted to violate the gzeira because the chashash doesn't apply to him. So the Gemara has an expression, Yomer kol asreikan asurin, asreiket baisus mutarin. The Gemara says on Pesach, you're not allowed to make fancy cookies because Elisha shoy aleim amach mitzosim. Until she's going to make the fancy design on the cookies, it's going to turn into chomet. If she uses potato starch, if she's using matzah mel, it can't turn into chomet even if she leaves it there for an hour. She'll leave it all day long. But this mana Gemara, they used to use regular flour, like the bakery, like the matzah factory uses regular flour. They don't use matzah now. They use Pesach to get flour, that if you leave it, if you mix it with water, it'll turn into chametz. So in the days of the Gemara, if you're going to use this Pesach to get flour, not matzah mel, not potato starch, and you're going to spend too much time making the tchotchkes and the fancy designs, it'll turn into chametz. So the Gemara says there was a fellow, Baisis, who had a special defus, he had a special form. Like today, all the women have this special form. When you need a lot of dough, you want to make cookies. You press the form. 1, 2, 3, you make 50 cookies in a half a minute. So you can make a lot of cookies with the form. So in the days of the Tanaim, he was the only one. Baisus was the only one who had such a form. So he wanted to know of the Tanaim, is he allowed to make these fancy cookies on Pesach? Because it's not going to take so long for him. The reason for the Gzeira de Rabbanon doesn't apply. So the Gzeira shouldn't apply. So the Tanaim said, no, they can't allow some people and prohibit other people. Because the Balabatim won't understand the Chiluk. Yomro, they'll say, call us Reikan Asurin. It's Reikan Baisus Matorit. How will we be able to explain this to the Balabatim? That no one is allowed to make fancy cookies except for Baisus. So go tell them that Baisus has a fancy form, that he does it quickly. So every Balabatim will say, well, I also do it quickly. You do it faster than Baisus. So everyone will judge on his own that the reason doesn't apply to me. So many of the people will violate the Issa Chametz. So here also, by the Tzurvim of the Rabbanim, you can't say that Talmid HaChamim don't have to observe any of the Gzeiras of the Rabbanim, because they know what's us and what's Mutter, so they'll only do what's Mutter, they won't do what's us. So we can't allow that. But Aliba Damas should have been Mutter. So if the Talmud Chacham makes it look like an accident, that's what it means Haram. He makes it look as if he fell asleep on the ferry at 11:45, he's sunning himself on Shabbos morning, 11:45. And then the ferry takes off at 12:15, and he makes believe he's still sleeping. Then when it comes 12:45, lands on the other side of the river. All of a sudden he wakes up, makes believe that he wakes up. So the Balabatim will think that he didn't realize what happened. So since he made it look like an accident, and the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, so that's mutter for a Tzurim and the Rabbanon to do that. But that's only mutter on the Rabbanon. On the Rais, of course it's not mutter. It's not even mutter on the Malacha the Rabbanon. It's only mutter on the Gzera the Rabbanon. And the Malacha Rabbanon also we wouldn't allow it. What? The Talmud Chacham is allowed to violate Malachas Rabbanon. True, the Malachas Rabbanon were also instituted as a Gzeira Shema, lest they come to violate a Malacha Deraisa. But that's only the reason for the prohibition. But once they instituted the prohibition, so they said that this act constitutes a Malacha Rabbanon. So a Tzurim Rabbanon can't do it either. But by Gzeira Rabbanon, let's say you're not allowed to go on a ferry on Shabbos. They can't say that going on a ferry on Shabbos is considered a violation of Misakin Mona mid the Rabbanon. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be a violation of Misakin Mona? He just walks on a ferry and the goy drives it to the other side. The goy's driving it anyway, because most of the passengers are goyim. There's only one Tzurim Rabbanon. So how can you say, you can't say that that's a Misakin Mona mid the Rabbanon. So the most you can say is that it's a Gzeira, Shema Yisakin Chavashal Shoyot. It's a Gzeira Lesti. You're not allowed to do the Dovra Mutter. Going on a ferry is mutter even the Rabbanon. But they said, we don't allow you to do this Dovra Mutter. which is not a malacha, unless this will lead to the second mona. So since it's only a gzeira and the rabbanon, so if the tzurvim and the rabbanon knows the reason for the gzeira, and he's going to be careful, and he makes it look like an accident, then the chashash of yomer kol asreka nasun asreka b'isis mutar doesn't apply. That's the only case where you say such a word, that haram is only mutar under rabbanon. That kind of haram is mamish in violation of the gzeira and the rabbanon. But in our case, we allow a haram on a derais also. Here it's a legal fiction, but it's legal. There it's illegal. There the Tzur Rabbanon is mamish going on the ferry. He's in violation of the Din Rabbanon. So we say, well, it's only prohibited because of the Leitlub, because of the Yom HaKol HaSreik and HaSun HaSreik HaBayis is Mutarin. So let him make it look like an accident, and he knows in his mind what's also what's Mutar. He won't fix the broken boat. He won't do any Malach on the second one. So in such a case, there's no Hashash of Leitlub. But over here, everybody's allowed to do the Mechiras Chametz. You do a Mechiras Chametz, it's legal. It's not illegal. It's a legal fiction. A legal fiction is mutter. On a lice essay, on an essay, you're not allowed to do. Haram on a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do. But haram on an iser, the pashtus is that you are allowed to do. That's why the minigolem is that, the minigolem is that we do sell. Most people do sell Mechiras Chametz, even Chametz B'yam.
How wide can we extend that? Meaning, there you're trying to avoid the lab.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the alternative? Either you tell Jews not to own animals, or you let them do it. Here in this case, there's an easy alternative. Tell them to really get rid of all of it. It doesn't go wrong. So I mean, is that head to there? Can we apply that to the gamrei for comments? Or dafka because it's.
That's what most Boston hold, that even though there isn't a great tzorach at all, they still allow haram. That you're allowed to do haram. The quote of Vilna Gaon was opposed on the whole institution of Mechiras Chametz because it became so commonplace already in his time, in the late 1700s, 200 years ago, late 1700s, that the people thought that it's just like a nusach, like a bizman. They didn't really realize that they're selling the chametz. That the chametz belongs to the guy. They thought that if you do this, then you can have chametz in your rishus. It's not you can have chametz in your rishus. It's like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer about the heter iske, that the businessmen think that a heter iske is like a mishabeh, like a yihiratzon, like a tchina. Make a heter iske, then you're allowed to charge interest. You're not allowed to charge interest. Heter iske is a business deal, and you have to realize that you may lose your pants, you may lose your money over here. If you don't realize that you're going to lose your money, then the heter iske doesn't help. If you write it in Hebrew and you sign it, and you don't really, both parties don't fully understand what's going on. So he says, there is no heter iske. So the same over here. In the Mechiras Chametz, if the goy doesn't really understand, you get a Puerto Rican super, he doesn't understand Mechlal, what you're talking about, just give him, you wave a dollar and he says, okay, whatever you say is good. And he doesn't have to sign anything. So what kind of a Mechiras Chametz is it? Or the Jew doesn't really understand what he's doing. The Jew, the Balabatman don't understand what they're doing, and the goy doesn't understand. So the Vilna Gaon was opposed to the whole thing. That's why the Gaon wouldn't need any chametz. He was chashish that his chametz shavah about Pesach. He wouldn't need any chametz where they had relied on Mechiras Chametz. Not just that he personally wouldn't go for Mechiras Chametz because it's haram. That's not why. Haram is a lechatchila, you shouldn't do haram. According to the Tvor Shor, according to the Teres Chaim, you know, I'll do haram, it's an isa lechatchila to do haram on a deraisa. But it doesn't say that b'diyevet, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gaon was chashish a different thing. There's no gemiras das on the whole Mechira. But if you're leaving within 30 days, then you still have to do the B'dikas Chametz, unless you want to rent 13 rooms and be going to the 14th room.
That's the thing. Assuming you're going to be kind, you have to do the B'dikas.
Yeah.
But assuming...
You have to do B'dikas at least on one room. That's what the Chasam Sofer said. You have to do at least B'dikas on one room, and then you can perhaps rely on renting the other rooms to the goy. Right. But if you're going to rely on renting all the rooms to the goy and not do any B'dikas at all, then you mevatel the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz. And B'dikas is the haschol of the mitzvah of the Bir Chametz. Thank you. has a discussion of, we mentioned before that the matzah companies make the matzah from Pesach Dik flour. It's not matzah mel. The matzah mel, the Gemara says, is not Bola Dechinas. The Gemara says once it was, right after the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Boim Ledechimus. The following things cannot turn into chametz. So it says, how up for you? If something was already baked, and then you grind it up, and you make matzah mel, and you mix in water, so it says it cannot become chametz. Unless you didn't bake it well, so it's half raw. It's a different story. If it's half raw, so now by putting it in the oven, you evaporate all the water, so it's not going to be Bola Dechimus. But then, if you're going to soak it in water later, or chew it in your mouth, so then the saliva may cause it to become chametz. Because then it's going to join with water again. That's the whole chumrah that the Hasidim started. Not to use gibrox on Pesach because of the chashash that maybe it's not baked well. What it says in the Gemara, Eilu Dvarim Shein Boim Dechimus Ha'afui, that's because in the days of the Gemara they baked it so well, everything was all oizgebakken, everything was well done. But maybe, Bizman Hazeh, maybe they leave the matzahs here for us, and maybe there's a chashash of gibrox. There's a Sefer Minchas Yehuda on Shas. A thin sefer, Horus on all of Shas, the Mechaber who learned by Harusa with the Nachlas David. He writes in the introduction that the Nachlas David knew how to learn better than him, because the Nachlas David was born in a community that was closer to Vilna, so the influence of the Vilna Gaon had already extended that far. And he was born further away from the Vilna, so the influence of the Groz Derech HaLimud was not yet felt, so that's why he didn't know how to learn so well. And then he defines what was the influence of the Vilna Gaon, the difference in the Derech HaLimud. So he says the difference simply consists of the fact that the Goyen introduced, you should go Menakala Lakovit, you should teach first Tanakh to the children, Chumash, and Tanakh, and then Mishnayis, and then only afterwards Gemara, and only afterwards Shulchan Aruch. And in the other communities, like by Satma, Arayam Azeh, they teach little children Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham, and the Yeridei with the Shach, and they don't know what the Gemara says, they don't know what the Mishnayis say. So they're reading a Shach, Shach's making a calculation whether you pass from like the Smag, or like the Sharidura, or like the Avro Sharidura. They don't know what it says in the Mishnah, they don't know what it says in the Gemara, they don't know what it's based on. So the Minchas Yehuda writes that that was the whole difference. That was the whole difference. That the Vilna Gaon introduced the new Derech HaLimud, that you go Mirakal HaLakovitz, this new startling, innovative notion, that you should first learn Chumash, and then you learn Mishnayis, and then you learn Gemara, and then only afterwards you learn Shulchan Aruch, so you'll understand everything properly. So he writes there in the introduction, very fascinating, they started a harusa together. They planned to learn together for 6 years. They were going to knock off the Seder every year. They were going to learn through Zeroyim in 1 year, then Moed in 1 year, then Noshim in 1 year. So he says the second year already, they didn't finish all of Moed. First year, I think he said they did finish. I think he says they finished Zeroyim in the first year. Then I think Moed, they didn't finish the second year. Then they're ready the third year. The Rav Chaim Volozhin has sent them a letter to the Nachlas David, then needs him back in the yeshiva, he wants him to give shiurim, and that was the end of his charusa. So he writes, so he has a sefer, Horus on all of Shas, a thin sefer, Horus on all of Shas. So he's the one who has that comment on this Gemara, Lamites on the base, the Minchas Yehuda, that he heard from the Nachlas David, who heard from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that when Rav Chaim Volozhiner heard the Hasidim started this new practice of not eating gibrox on Pesach, that he went to Vilna, he traveled specially to Vilna, to ask the Vilna Gaon what his opinion is. So with the Vilna Gaon, that's all you had to do. Tell the Vilna Gaon that the Hasidim started a new minig, so he of course held that it's not right. So he ate gibrox in the presence of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and then he put a knedel in the window that everybody in Vilna should know. But he doesn't believe in gibrox, he doesn't believe. That's the source of the Minchas Yehuda on this Gemara, on Lamites on the base. One paragraph, one little paragraph, and then say. They quote it in the later history books, the latest one they quote. They used to ask the kasha, Rav Soloveitchik used to chuckle whenever he would say this over, they ask a kasha that if the Hasidim are so medactic, they're so choshish for gibrox, so how do they eat matzah on Pesach night? The saliva is also bolei lechinus. The Gemara says saliva can be matzah. The Gemara talks about chewing, here, the Mishnah. Alam etasim deis liyur lasadim chitim, v'yanech amakasoy. You shouldn't chew flour, or you shouldn't chew kernels of grain, and then make a paste in your mouth and put it on a wound, for medical purposes, because it'll turn into chametz because of the saliva. So you see, the saliva is not treated like neperis. It is machmetz. It is bolei dechimetz. So if saliva is machmetz, so how can you eat any matzah? It's always gibrox. So they say that they once asked this to a chassid. They said, what kind of a foolish question is that? Esed echal ay sese. So mitzvah sese to eat matzah. So you're allowed to eat echal ay sese. I'm eating chametz. So it's a little bit humorous. If the matzah turns into chametz, then it's not matzah. You don't say esed echal ay sese on that. Anyway, it's a minig that the chassidim started, not the gibrox. That's why, since it's only a midas chassidus, so the minig is that on the last day, on the eighth day of Pesach, they do eat gibrox. In order to text, so it says in the earlier achronim. The Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mechaber writes a chumrah not to eat dried out fruits on Pesach. Because, let's say, not to eat raisins and not to eat dried out prunes, whatever they sell in the stores, all the dried out fruits. Because how do we know where they manufacture it? Neodea, maybe they drop some chametz out. Now it's a bigger problem, maybe they drop chametz. Now they have a release agent. Now what they do is, when they have this on a conveyor belt and they put it through an oven or something and they have it dry it out, a lot of these dried out fruits, so they spray something on the conveyor belt, they spritz something on, or they pour something on, so that later on, after it's all dried out, you'll be able to remove it very easily and it shouldn't get stuck to the conveyor belt. That's called the release agent. So when they put the ingredients of the food that they're selling to you, the government of America does not require that they have to write what release agent they're using. That's not one of the ingredients, anything. So sometimes they'll use chazeshmalt, and sometimes they'll use chametz. They don't have to write that in the ingredient. That's not so. Sometimes they discover that they use as a release agent, and these dried out fruits they use chametz mamish, they use treifas mamish. That's a taka. At a minute, that the eighth day of Pesach, they want to demonstrate that it's muta mikra din, so you're allowed to have the dried out fruit. Whatever is only a chumrah, whatever is only midas chassidus, not to eat. So on the last day, you can have it. So that's why the chassidim, most of the chassidim, have the meaning that on the last day of Pesach, they bedavka do eat gibrox, in order to demonstrate that it's only a chumrah. But that's what the story of Gibrox is based on. So the Gemara Mem Amud Aleph discusses, what if you have bleached flour? Can you use, that's called lisisa, when you bleach the flour, the kernels of grain grow in the dirt. So it's all full of filth, it's all full of dirt. So if you're not going to bleach the grain, you're not going to wash it off in advance, you don't bleach it with bleach. You shouldn't do the sisa. You shouldn't bleach the flour in advance. And that's what the goyim call kemach min ashuk. The regular flour that they sell in all the stores was bleached. So mikra din kemach min ashuk really is mutter. Because when they have a stack of kernels of grain, and they wash it off, the water goes down. They don't leave it in a bowl to let it soak for a long period of time. They have it on a stack, and they pour water on it, and the water goes down. And even the bottom kernels of grain also don't sit in the water. It's on a grate or something, that the kernels of grain will not fall through, and the water will go through. So it just takes moments, and all the water goes down, and it dries off, 1, 2, 3. So mikra din is no problem, it's only a chumrah. That's how the goyim say, Shulchan Aruch quoted, if you got stuck at big shasat chak, and the only way to bake matzahs is by using kemach min ashuk, even though the goyim did lisisa on it, even though they bleached it, so mikra din, the halacha says that it's mutah. The Radvaz lived in Egypt in the 1500s, so he writes that that's no longer so, that they developed a new technique where they bleach the flour so well that they soak it for a long period of time, and they make it much cleaner than they did, even though the goyim did lisisa on it, even though they bleached it. So mikra din, the halacha says that it's mutter. The Radvaz lived in Egypt in the 1500s, so he writes that that's no longer so, that they developed a new technique where they bleach the flour so well that they soak it for a long period of time, and they make it much cleaner than they did in the days of the Gemara, the days of the Goyim. So the bleached flour today may be a hashash of chometz nukshe. Chometz nukshe is what we mentioned the other day. The Gemara has in the third parak. The Gemara talks about chimutz is a process. So the beginning of the process is called Seor, and the Gemara of the process is called Siduk. You mentioned the Mishnah Memches on the base. So they said, so that's what the Rashbaz writes, that the way they bleached the flour in the 1500s was so advanced already that it may have already reached the stage of the beginning of the Chimetz process, and it may even be Chametz Dogen Gomer. It may even be a Taruvus of Chametz Dogen Gomer. And that's what the later Achranim, the Snechemi quotes, the later Achranim say that as the years went by, so they kept on bleaching it better and better haste, that they did it in such a way that it had that it really had Chametz. There was a big scandal here in America, I think 2 or 3 years ago, that there was written up in all the newspapers. The Congress made a whole investigation about it. The Chever, the characters who were selling flour, want to make more money, so they sell it by the weight, not by the volume. So in order that it should weigh more money, in order that it should weigh more, that they should charge more, so they used to pour in a lot of water. You can't tell because the water gets absorbed in the flour. So they have a big container full of flour, and then they would pour in a lot of water, so it would weigh much more. So they were doing this for a couple of years until they finally caught on that they're cheating the public, so they stopped it. The Congress wasn't worried about comments. So in America, it's a stomach problem. So now they put an end to it. They didn't put an end to it, whatever it is. But that's not called Kemach Menashuk anymore. Now that we know, number one, that they do such a fine job of the sisa like they did in the days of their advaz in Egypt, so the Kemach Menashuk, the standard flour that they sell in the stores, may be Chametz Nuksha, may even be Chametz Dogen Gomer. That's why there's a problem. A lot of people think you only have to sell Chametz, you don't have to sell flour. The flour, you didn't mix the flour with water yet. So a lot of people think they don't have to sell, just like you don't have to sell kidneys, you have to sell, beans, bebelach, whatever. So a lot of people think you don't have to sell flour. No, it's not correct. It's a question whether you're allowed to sell flour. Those who are choshish not to sell chametz dogen gomer. Maybe that the flour is considered chametz dogen gomer. We're not sure if it's taruv is chametz dogen gomer, or if it's the end, whether it's more than 50% or less than 50%. But for sure, you should at least sell the flour. You shouldn't. A lot of people buy flour in advance. They buy sacks of flour in advance, so that right after Pesach is over, they'll have flour. So that's like buying, mamish, that's like buying cake and cookies and bread, to buy in advance in order to sell the flour. That's not right.
What about it's not really like
the way as is? No. The din is, if you have food, let's say I have the nevela, I have him from the A&P. So if the him is not roi l'achila sodom, let's say it's raw. Nobody would eat the him raw. So that's not called nifsam achila sodom. By chometz you have to have nifsam achila sakelev. By treifis it's not nifsam achila sodom. So nifsam achila sodom means if I leave it out of the refrigerator and it gets spoiled and it rots and it smells and it decomposes, that's called nifsam. But let's say it's raw meat, nobody would eat it the way it is. You have to cook it. So that's not called nifsam achila sodom. Here also you have raw flour. Nobody would eat it the way it is. If I'm not, you have to cook it first. If it would rot, if it would turn wormy, then it'd be called nifsam achila sodom. But this is not nifsam achila anything. This hadayim lo tikno es amaychal. A raw is not called, let's say you have raw potatoes. That's not roi l'achila sodom. Animals will eat raw potatoes, but human beings usually don't eat raw potatoes. It's not called nifsam achila sodom. Hadayim lo tikno, you didn't cook it yet. So that's a big issue. Remember years ago, maybe 25 years ago, when there were Jews in Russia, the Russian government didn't let them, they didn't let in the matzahs in many communities. They sent matzahs, they didn't deliver it till after Pesach. It's amazing. They kept it in the post office, and after Pesach they were given the matzahs. Just lahachas. So the people from the SSSJ, whatever, they were sending instructions to the Jews in Russia how they bake matzahs. So the Shah, where are they going to get flour to bake the matzah? They're going to use Kerach Menashuk. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, okay, we can make them on the Kerach Menashuk. But Shah, what kind of Kerach Menashuk? If they have bleached flour the way we have, so it's not Kerach Menashuk. It's either Nuksha or Taruv is Chometz Dogen Gomer, or Chometz Dogen Gomer the end. So I remember they gave them instructions that in the little villages in Russia, they have flour like Koidim, the 1500s of the Rabbas. They were so backward. In the big cities, it was like in America. It was already past the days of the Radvaz. They had real bleached flour. But in the little villages, the flour was filthy. The mom is dirty. They didn't bleach it. Or the slight bleaching that they did wasn't such a gewaldig good job. So sometimes you still have Kamach Menashuk. In some villages, you still have Kamach Menashuk.
So can you buy any bleached flour? They still have
if you know for sure that they didn't soak it with water. This is the new tzara that they have now. They say it's unbleached flour, but a lot of times they soak with water in order to make more money. That's why there was a, that's why there's a whole tumult about coffee, whether you're allowed to use regular coffee without a hechsher. Because during the Second World War, when the government was using all the boats for the war effort, so there weren't so many boats to bring coffee to America, so there was very little coffee. So in order that the coffee manufacturers should make more money, so they used to mix in flour into the coffee. They used to mix in regular, and all the spices also like that. They didn't have enough spices in America. So the spice companies didn't want to tell everybody that they don't have enough for everybody. So they filled in all of this, all the little jars of spices. They would fool the public, and then mix in flour, and everything would blend in. It's all chemical. The chemical all looks like it's flour anyway, and no one knew the difference. So that's why at that time, after the Second World War, people realized that you have to have. You can never tell what they're selling you. They say that it's flour. They say that it's spices, and they say that it's coffee. And they may have mixed in regular flour. So when you're going to mix it, you're going to cook it, you're going to make the, you're going to make your food into hummus. So that's why now we insist that we can't rely on the companies. We insist that we should have hashgacha on everything. They may be selling us hummus. Mm-hmm. Gemara makes a statement on Lamed Hem days that may peris e machmitzin, that the only time something becomes hummus is if it's one of the five kinds of grain. Chameshes mine dogon, wheat and barley, and the variations of wheat and variations of barley, and it's mixed in with water. But if it's only mixed in with May Paris, then it doesn't pose a problem. That's the top line on Lamed Hem base. There's a problem though, because the Gemara Lamed Vavam and Aleph says that if you mix flour with May Paris, it'll be memahir lahachmitz. It may even turn into chametz earlier. It's like a contradiction. The two amudim of Gemara. What is Lamed Hem base? They're facing each other. Lamed Hem base, Lamed Vavam and Aleph contradict each other. So Rashi and Tosfos have two ways to resolve this theory, and then we show them a split, what the answer is. Rashi says the answer to this theory is like this. May Peres and Machmitz, when it says here, means that it can never become Chomitz, Dov, and Gomer. And the next daf, when it says it's Memala Hachmitz, yes, it means that the Chimitz process will begin earlier, but it'll never ever complete itself. The Chimitz process will never... The Chimitz is a process, the beginning of the process is called Nukshe. And the Gemara of the process is called Chomitz Dov and Gomer, where you have Kares. And May Peres and Machmitz means it never gets to the last stage. It'll never become Chomitz Dov and Gomer. But the beginning of the stage of Chimitz process, it will become, and not only will become, it'll even be Memaila happens. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi based on Gemaras. They say that it just doesn't fit in the Gemaras, but Rashi said. So they say no. And the Gemara says May Peres and Machmitz means zero. May Peres mixed with the grain will not affect anything. You can leave it all day long, nothing will happen. The Gemara Lamed Vavam and Aleph that says May Peris mixed with flour is Memala Hachmus, means if you have May Peris with water with grain, with flour. So the water is going to turn into Chomei. So just like if the room is hot above a normal room temperature, that's going to be Memala Hachmus. So to over here, if you mix in the water with a little bit of a May Peris, with a significant amount of May Peris, then it'll be Memala Hachmus. That's the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So because of this opinion of Rashi, even though Mikra then we really don't pass like this, but because of Rashi's opinion that he holds that May Peris alone are Machmitzim, except that it'll never become Chametz Dov and Gomer, it'll become Chametz Nukshe. So Chametz Nukshe you're also not allowed to eat. So that's why the Ramos says in Minig that we don't eat Matzah Nilosha B'May Peris all of Pesach, because we are afraid that we cannot control it, and it may have turned into chametz without us realizing it. He says, but mikra din, it's really mutus, and that's why he says, v'cholim eskenim, yikim imekom. Rabban Soloveitchik, when he took over the Hashgacha on strikes many years ago, 40 years ago, close to 40 years already. So at that time, he was unhappy with the egg matzah. How can he say, like matzah says in the Ramah that you're not allowed to sell? So he introduced a new thing. He said that the whole Chumrah of Rashi and the Ramah, when does something become Chametz? If you mix Chameshis Mini Dogon, if you mix flour with water, and you leave it Vali Hisaskus, what if you have constant Hisaskus the whole time? Then the Gemara says that it cannot possibly turn into Chametz. Afilu Kalayam Kulo, the Gemara has an expression. If there's constant Hisaskus, even if it's not baked all day long, it'll not become Chametz. That's why Rabban Soloveitchik introduced a new, as he called it, a new clopper. A new machine that doesn't serve any function other than banging all of the dough all the time. So So it has constant kusaskus all the time. So it never sits even for a moment of time without his saskus. He thought that Mikir had in his egg matzes, that strikes as manufacturing, was mutter for everybody. But just the people are going to tie in egg matzes, how can you allow egg matzes? He put in Hebrew on the box, it's mutter rak l'cholim al iskein. So people complained to him afterwards, why do you put it in Hebrew? The people don't know what that means. So he said, no, Mikir had in his egg matzes are mutter for everybody. Because it has constant saskas the whole time. That's what he said. He introduced a new thing that bangs on the door. I don't know if Manashev has that. Manashev sells egg matzahs. They probably do. No. I don't know if Stripes still has it. You got to find it. Anyway, that's the story with the egg matzahs.
What about Nehara that has, like, water in it already? It's honey. It doesn't have water mixed in it, but orange.
What do you have? Reconstituted orange juice, regular orange juice? No, regular. Let's say milk and wine. All mayperis contain a certain high percentage of H2O, but we treat that all as mayperis. If you evaporate all the water and then you reconstitute it, so then we won't treat it like that. Then we'll say that the water that was added later on is water. Then it will be machnas. Very strange. I don't know why, but that's what we assume.
My
question
is, how can you know experiment? This is not experiment.
That's a good question. I don't know. The Gemara, the Talmud, Yerushalmi, yes, and the Machlokes Abayech Menuhin and the Rabbanim by Oriz V'Deichem, why didn't they experiment? The Talmud Yerushalmi says they did experiment, and it turned out to be something halfway in between Sirchon and Chimutz, and that was their Machlokes. Apparently we today have lost the yacht. We don't know exactly what Chimutz is supposed to look like. Even if we'll experiment, we won't know what we're looking at. I don't know. The Gemara learns off in the pasuk of Lechem Oni. There's a Kri and Ksiv on Lechem Oni. The Ksiv is Oni, and the Kri is Oni. So what do you do when there's a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv? So there's usually a Machlokes HaTanoim in Sanhedrin Abdalit and other places where you say Yeshem LaMikro or you say Yeshem LaMasara. Should you follow the Ksiv or should you follow the Kri? And Tosfos writes there in Sanhedrin Abdalit, whenever you can have a drasha where you blend in the Kri and the Ksiv together, then you pass them like both. So that's what we do over here also. By the Lechem only there's a Kri and a Ksiv. So we darshan both. We pass them both by like the Ksiv and like the Kri. There's no conflict between the two. So we darshan lechem oni. Lechem she'onim ala dvarim harbeh. And we also say lechem oni. On kuf tezayinim and aleph. The top line, madarka shaloni bepruso. Afkam bepruso. That you should have a broken matzah. Tesis on the top tesis on kuf tezayin. Has a machlokes harishonim. How does this fit in with the din? That we require lechem mishne on Shabbos and Yom Tov Zeichel Amon. A double portion of mon came down on every erev Shabbos and on every erev Yom Tov. Even though the pasuk it only says Shabbos, pasuk says only that the mon didn't come down on Shabbos. Shabbos you're not allowed to carry, but on Yom Tov when you're allowed to carry, so how do you know the mon didn't come down? So Tosfos says that's the Gemara, the first daf in Beitza. Since the fair is like that, the whole din of Hachana the Rabbi is based on the assumption that the mon did not come down on Yom Tov. Tosfos says the Mechilta seems perhaps to contradict it, that Berach HaMemon, by Berach HaLikim is Yom HaShmeh, HaKadosh Osa, Berach HaMemon, Kitcha HaMemon, Rashi and Chumash quotes it, Berach HaMemon, Kitcha HaMemon, that the mon didn't come down on Shabbos, and the mon came down a double portion on Erev Shabbos. But you see, in the Kiddush we say, Berach HaMekol HaMem, Kiddash HaMekol HaZman. But he said, "Beirachta mikola yomim, dekidashta mikola zmanim." More so than Yom Tov, also that the man didn't come down on Shabbos. The Tosfos deals with that. They say it can't be. It's against the Gemara. Either it's a machlekes hatanoim, or it just meant that the man tasted better on Shabbos than it did on Yom Tov. Shalom. The man tasted whatever he wanted to taste like. On Shabbos, he wanted to taste like chomps. It tastes like chomps. On Yom Tov, they didn't want it to taste like chomps. It didn't taste. Whatever it is, we follow the Talmud Bavli that we assume on the first daf and beit, so the mon did not come down, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So you have to have lecha nishna on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Zeichel amon. Reb Shlomo of Vilna has a little bit of a humorous kasha in his sefer. When you have 2 days in a row, like this year, you have Yantav Shchali is Be'er Shabbos, so why don't you, so a triple portion came down. Because the man didn't come down 2 days in a row, so a triple portion, how come we don't require, I don't know how you call it, Lechem Meshulash, the Trinity. Maybe that's the reason why they never wanted to do it. People think of, we're subscribing to the Trinity. So why, that's his kasha, why don't we require Lechem Meshulash? See, has he who's bothered with the kasha, he has the kasha when he was a little child, he's bothered the kasha many years, and he finally heard a Terence, and he has a hole in the Binyan Shlomo. Shlomo the Vilna was such a genius. He knew all, he was a Foki Nifla, he knew all the normal Teres he knew from all the Svarim. What is he going to write a Shtikol Teres? Everything Shtekshon. So his Sefer, he only writes these kind of things. Everything else already printed. What is he going to write? Always going to write something that someone else wrote. So this is what he has in his Sefer Binyan Shlom. Anyway, so Taisus has this Kashe. What do you do on Leil Pesach? On the one hand, you have to have Lecha Nishne, because it's a Chayontif like every Yontif. And on the other hand, you have to have a Prusa. So how does it stem the Lecha Nishne with the Prusa? So Taisus has two opinions how to have the two dinim jive. So one opinion is the way we pass when you have 2.5 matzahs. That solves your problem. You have 2 shleimas for the Lecha Mishnah, that's for one mitzvah, Zeich Alamon, and then you have the prusa for the mitzvah of matzah. The two distinct mitzvahs. The Lecha Mishnah is for the mitzvah of Suras Yontif, and the prusa is for the mitzvah of matzah. Then Taisus has another opinion, that's the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam, the Rif, the John McGloin holds like that. No. Madarke Shaloni Beprusa. What kind of a Prusa? If you have 2.5 matzahs, that's not Darke Shaloni to have 2.5, 2 shleimas and 1 Prusa. No. Madarke Shaloni Beprusa means you're not supposed to have 2 shleimas. Manishtana alayla zemikala alaylas. This night has to be different from all the other nights. You bedavke should not have 2 shleimas. You should bedavke have 1.5 matzahs. You take 2 matzahs, then you make yachatz in the beginning, and then you make 1.5 out of the 2. But if you're going to have 3, and you're going to make 2.5, so 2.5 is way more than any oni has. You got to have 1.5 to show that Pesach is a prusa. So l'chayritz a fundamental machlokes arishanim, different practices, bizman is that they have 2.5 matzah, 1.5 matzahs. The chayritz machlokes is regarding the nature of the mitzvah of matzah. Is this a different, distinct mitzvah from the mitzvah of Sudas Yantif, or is it the same mitzvah? On Pesach night, you should fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yantif by having a prusa. You should not fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yantif by having 2 shleimas. You should fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yantif by having a prusa. That's exactly the machlokes. And the Shulchan Aruch says that we follow the opinion you need 2.5 matzahs. That means we treat it as 2 different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to have Sudas Yantif, one mitzvah to have matzah. That's why the Mechaber quotes in another siman, the Mechaber quotes the Rosh, that when you say Hamoitzin, you say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos Hatzmonu Alachilas Matzah, you should eat 2 kezaisin. 1 kezais from the Shleimah to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif, and 1 kezais from the Prutzo to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah. So the Mishnah Brura has a taina against the Mechaber. Why did he quote the Rosh? He thinks that most Rishonim would not agree with the Rosh. He thinks. He quotes some other, I think another 2 Rishonim to say the same as the Rosh. Mishnah Brura quotes, but he thinks that most of the Rishonim would not agree with the Rosh. This is Nabir Halacha. And he doesn't understand why the Mechaber quoted such a Shita Yichido that you got to have 2 different kezais. And when you say Moitzi Matzah, why isn't it sufficient with 1 kezais? So the Pashtus is that this issue, whether you need 1 kezais or 2 kezais, this is exactly the Machlokes, whether you need 2.5 matzahs or 1.5 matzahs. If you say you need 2.5 matzahs, that means that they're 2 different mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Sudas Yantav Lachud, you need 2 shleims, and then the mitzvah of Matzah Lachud. 2 different mitzvahs, you need 2 kezaisim. But if you hold that it's 1.5, like the Vilna Gaon, following the Rif and the Rambam, and the other 2 opinions in Taisus, the top Taisus, Kufta, Zainam, and Al, Taisus has the 2 opinions. If you follow the other opinion, what you're saying in effect is that it's the same mitzvah. Then on Leil Pesach, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yantav is not by having bedavki, you should not have lecha nishne of 2 shleimas. Should the bedavki have less than lecha nishne? Should have 1.5. So then of course it's only necessary to have 1 kezais. So once the Shulchan Aruch passed and said you have 2.5, then what is he getting so excited? Why the Mechaber writes like the Rosh, you need 2 kezais? It's Hava Hatalia. If you want to insist that 1 kezais is enough, then you got to say 1.5 is enough. So say like the Rambam then. Once you say you need 2.5, then you got to be machmen that you need 2 kezais. Chayr? Chayr is Hava Hatalia.
Two and a half for one season, so you only get 5 kilos left, so you
You have two and a half. So when you say how much you love minority, you're holding on to the two shleimas. And then after you said how much, then you put down at least one of the shleimas. I'll put up both shleimas, whatever. And then you're holding on to the prusa. Either holding on one and a half or a half. And then you say the bracha al achilas matz. Then you eat a kazayis from the broken one, a kazayis from the full one, to fulfill the two distinct mitzvahs of both suras yontif and matzah. Right. There are more quotes in Shulchan Aruch Minig from the Aguda, from other Rishonim, that on Leil Pesach we don't salt the matzahs. And they give two different reasons. One reason they give is that the Gemara says in Brachas that the only time you have to salt the bread is when the bread doesn't taste so good. But if the bread is very tasty, let's say you buy delicious raisin challah from the store on Friday. You make your own raisin. It tastes delicious without any salt. You don't need salt to add any flavor. So in the Gemara it says that you don't have to add on any salt. The purpose of the salt is to make it tasty. So the Rambam quotes that reason. So he says, on Leil Pesach all the matzahs taste heavenly. They all taste delicious. And there's no need for any salt. Then the Rishonim give, the Aguda gives a different term that the Rambam does not quote. It gives a different term. Because the Choshesh that maybe it's a matzah ashira. The Gemara darshan from the Pasuk, Lechem Oni. The Kriya Ksiv, so the Ksiv is Oni, Lechem Oni. That you shouldn't use Matzah Ashira, you should use Davka Lechem Oni. So Lechem Oni, Matzah Ashira comes to the exclusion of several different things. The Gemara has on Lamed Vavim and Aleph, if you mixed in May Paris, if you mixed in Issa Sheni Losha, B'yayin Shem and Vash B'cholov, so the Gemara says that's called Matzah Ashira. That's one example. Or the Gemara has another case of a Matzah Ashira, if you have an Ashisha, on Lamed Vavim and Aleph, you have a matzah that's gigantic, very, very big size matzah. If it's very big, Luska Gedoyla. If it's very big, then it's Echad Mishisha the Eifo. Well, how much is that? You've got to multiply to see. It's a gigantic matzah. The Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch, that's why the meaning is that we make more or less small size matzahs. Those big things that we have are small. Those big matzahs are considered small. You can make a bigger matzah than that. If it's too big, then it's a hashash that's going to become an Ashisha. Then the Gemara has also Cholut. If you have a matzah sheni bashlo, that's also considered matzah ashira. That's what the Gemara says. You're not yotze mem aleph amenal. The Gemara has a brisa that you're not yotze with a matzah mevushelis. And it's a little unclear what's wrong with it. So Tosis has two pshatim. So the second pshat in Tosis very mefarish that a matzah mevushelis is no good because it's called matzah ashira. The first pshat in the Tosis is the popular pshat in Hilchas Shabbos. The first day of Taisa says if you have a matzah that was originally baked and then you cook it later, so the bishul, I say, even though I'm bishul aha bishul, vein afi acha afi, although yesh bishul aha afi, yesh afi acha bishul, that chumra from the Iranian is based on the first pshat in Taisa. Rashi in the first pshat in Taisa here, not like the second pshat. That if you have a matzah that was baked and then you cook it, so the bishul, I say, yesh bishul aha afi, and I say, now it's a matzah mubashelis, and the bishul is mevatuli afi. I say, it's not considered afuya. If you have a matzah that is not, it once had an afiyah, but it was just mevatli afiyah. If you have a matzah that doesn't have an afiyah, doesn't have a lasting effect of an afiyah, so then sometimes it won't be considered lechem. Sometimes it won't be yotzei, the mitzvah matzah that is not called, it has to be lechem and it has to be oni. So lechem means it has to be pas, it has to have a din of hamotzi lechem and oretz on it. The Rambam says you want a yotzei on such bread that you can say hamotzi lechem and oretz. If you can't say hamotzi, let's say you're going to have flour with water. So if you stir it together, oatmeal cereal, something like that. So you say, well, you're not going to say Bar Minim Zainus on that. You don't say Amoitzi. Even if you eat a ton of it, you don't say Amoitzi on that. Spaghetti. I'll be Pashto. Even if you eat a ton of spaghetti, the Pashto says, you know, even if you kaveh suited, that's not called Pasta about the Kisna. It's not called Pasta at all. That's just Bar Minim Zainus. So here also, if you want to have something from Matzah that can never become Hamoitzi Lechem in Haaretz, then it can't be called Lechemoni. It's not good for Matzah, the Rambam says. So this first pshat in Taisa says, if you're going to be mevashel, the matzah, then the bishul is mevatel, I say yesh bishul achar afiyo, so it's mevatel the effect of the afiyo, then it'll cancel the status of lechem. Why? Because lechem that didn't have an afiyo that left a lasting effect is not called lechem. So Taisa says, is that true? Is that taka the din? That if the lechem didn't have a lasting effect from an afiyah, it doesn't have the status of lechem. The Tosfos Amem Aleph from now refers you to the previous daf where the Rabbeinu Tam has a whole idea. That's not the previous daf, that's a little earlier than the previous daf. Lamed Ches on the base, there's a long place in the Kuli Alma. Lamed Zayin on the base, excuse me. Lamed Zayin on the base happens to be in Brachas also, daf Lamed Zayin. So in Brachas, daf Lamed Zayin on the base, and it's here in Pesachim, daf Lamed Zayin on the base. It happens to be the same daf. That the Rabbeinu Tam, based on a contradiction between what he considered a contradiction between two Gemaras, came up with this new idea, and this was accepted by all the Balei HaTosfos. We happen not to pass them like this, from A to Z. We don't pass like this. This is how the Rabbeinu Tam held and all the Balei HaTosfos held. Then in order to be called lechem, you need either a fia or a blila ova. If you had a blila ova, a thick dough, like when you make challah, so you have a thick dough. And when you make cookies, a lot of times you just pour it. It's a batter. That's called a blila rakah. So if you have a blila rakah, then you have to have an afia later that it should get a shem lechem. If you had a blila ova, even if you do a bishul later on, it will have a shem lechem. So Tosfos interprets this Gemara that if a matzah is mevushelis, it's no good for the mitzvah matzah because the bishul yesh bishul achar afiyah, bishul is mevatel, the lasting effect of the afiyah. And if it was a matzah that never had a blila ova to begin with, it only had a blila raka, so you had neither lisha nor afiyah, so it doesn't have a shein lechem, that's why it's no good. But the second opinion, that's what the whole Yireim skum is based on, yesh bishul achar afiyah, yesh afiyah habishul. But the second shat in Tosfos is not so. Even if the matzah had originally blila ovo. And if it's not going to have an afiyah, it's still going to be called lechem. But still, it's a matzah ashiro. Anything that's mevushal is going to be soft. Soft matzah is matzah ashiro. So you're not yotzei idei chayves hamitzvah. That's why it is told in the name of the Beis HaLevi. Some say the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner like that. That they followed the practice of the Vilna Gaon, the eight Gibrochs on Pesach, but they wouldn't eat Kneidlach the first 2 days of Pesach because of the Rambam. The Gemara says on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph that Matzah Ashira is not acceptable, not allowed. Not allowed for what? So Pasha Pshat is not allowed for the mitzvah on Leil HaSeder. So the Rambam has a different shot. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to bake matzah ashira on the first 2 days of Pesach, because we on the first day in Eretz Yisrael, first 2 days in Chutz Lartz, you want to have a zecher to the lechemoni all day long. You want to have a zecher. So the Mar's lashon is and lamed vav and alf. The Mar says habi yontav rishon, habi yontav sheni. So Rashi learns pshat yontav rishon doesn't mean all day long. Is Laila Harishon. Then you have to eat matzah's mitzvah, it has to be lechemoni, so you can't use matzah shira for the mitzvah. But Rashi, the Beis Yosef points out, Rashi clearly holds that it's not a din the whole Yom Rishon, you're not allowed to. And the Rambam learns not so. The Rambam learns the whole Yom Rishon, on Chutzlos, the whole first 2 days, you're not allowed to have lechemoni. So according to the Rambam, if you put two and two together, if you hold that a matzah mevusheles is called matzah ashira, like the Ri and Daf Mem Aleph and Aleph, and you follow the Rambam's chumer that you're not allowed to have lechemoni the whole first day, the whole first 2 days. So then it comes out you're not allowed to have kneidlach the first 2 days of Pesach, because kneidlach is matzah mevusheles. So it's called matzah ashira. Thank you. But most people don't have that chumer. Most people follow the Rashi. The Rashi says Hobi Yoy Makama just means. For the mitzvah, that you're not yet to the mitzvah with matzah shiur. The din is that one could be yet to matzah with matzah mel also, as long as it's not mevushelis. Let's say a person doesn't have has false teeth or whatever, they can't chew. They can be yet to with matzah mel. There's no halacha, it has to be dafka, hard like a rock. Not mechuyav to chew it on their own. Gemara says it's fairish. Shulchan Aruch is the first one. The Yetzir with matzah milk. Just a shaila, the Morgan Avram says in Shulchan Aruch that you can matzah shvuya is good. The Gemara says Yetzir Miraka Kasharui Avalo B'Mavushal. That's on Nem Aleph Amin Aleph. The Gemara has a brisa. Yotze Miraka Kashori, Avaloi B'Mavushal. So Miraka Kashori means even if it's soaked in water. What if it's soaked in wine? What if you want to soak the matzah in apple cider? Would that be good? So the Magen Avraham says that that's no good. And the Echad Teisa, why should it be no good? Mavushal is no good either because Mavushal is matzah Ashira, because Bishul is Mavatla Afiya, and you need Afiya in order that it should have a Shein Lechem. But what's wrong if you soaked it in wine or in apple cider as opposed to water? Why should it be a difference? Very Shvera Magen Avraham. So they quote B'Shem Rab Chaim in Chedusha Mepia Shmua that he disagreed with the Magen Avraham. He said, no, the statement that the Magen Avraham quotes, I think from the Truma Sadesh and one of the early Achorim, that's talking about Afikoyman. Afikoyman you shouldn't soak in wine or in apple cider because it says in the end of the Masechta that we want to have Kadesh Heitam Matzah V'Fiv. So you want him to maintain the flavor of the matzah. So if he's going to soak the matzah in wine, he's going to soak the matzah in apple cider. He's not going to have the flavor of wine. He's going to have the flavor of the juice that he soaked it in. But on the first Kizayis, so the Kizayis of Kairach, the matzah for the Kairach, so they quote B'Shem Abchaim that he didn't think that you have to be machma not to soak it in juices. The quote Rab Chaim Valojiner did not follow that chumra, that practice of the Ramah. Oh, sorry, I never finished the whole story. So there's a din that you're not allowed to have lechem oni. You're not allowed to have matzah shira on Pesach. So matzah shira means matzah shen losho, the yain shem and dvash v'cholov. That's one kind of matzah shira. What if I have, let's say, a matzah and then I shmir on margarine to the seder? Or the person has a matzah, shmura matzah, and he shmirs on jam. So is there anything wrong with that? So if you say you can't soak it in juices, then maybe you shouldn't shmir on jam. Let's say you're not choshish about the soaking of juices. Would you be allowed to shmir on jam or not? Would that pose a problem? It might pose a problem of mitzvahs mevat lezu azu. The Gemara says that there was a machlok in Sillah na Chachamim. If you leave matzah and mora together, they say mitzvahs mevat lezu azu based on the premise. The premise that they all agree is that if you eat matzah with the Dvar HaShuas, then for sure the Dvar HaShuas will be Mevatel Dvar Mitzvah. But when it comes to a mitzvah sachila, you have to eat it separately from anything else. Alright. Let's say you just have a mashahu. You don't put on a heavy coat of jam on top of the matzah. You just put a tiny little bit. And Taisis claims that then you wouldn't say mitzvah Mevatel Dvar Mitzvah, just put a little bit on top. Would that pose a problem? Would that pose a problem of matzah ashiva? Is that considered matzah ashiva because it's put on jam? So the Pashto says, all the Rishayim have a right in the Gemara that no, it's only called matzah ashira if the ashirus is there before the afiya. At the time that you baked it, at the time that it became a matzah, it was already a matzah ashira. But if it already became a lechem oni and then later on you add the ashirus on top, you put on the jam later on, the Pashto says it doesn't become matzah ashira. There are some Rishayim hold not so. So that's what the Aguda says, you should be choshish for those Rishayim and not put salt on the matzahs after they're baked because that may elevate it to the level of matzah ashira. Putting on salt afterwards may convert it into matzah ashira. So those are the two reasons that are given why the minig was for so many generations not to salt the matzahs on Leil Pesach. Either because you have to have matzah lechem oni, you're not allowed to have matzah shira, or the Ramah says because they taste delicious. Oh, you learn they used to eat dried out pumpernickel, it tasted awful. So you had to put a little salt, that you have a little flavoring to it. On Leil Pesach, they had delicious tasting money. So they quote the Rav Chaim Alojan, it wasn't choshish for either of these reasons, that he did salt the matzah on Pesach night. Nunu. So those who are descendants of Rav Chaim Alojan and Mustama should maintain the family tradition. But most people are not. Most people follow the Ramah. They don't follow Rav Chaim Alojan. Chaim Alojan had a lot of unusual hanhagas. This is not so unusual. But they had a lot of very unusual hanhagas. Okay, Lineta tomorrow. We'll continue. We should have an early Shia tomorrow. Okay, it's an idea. What time is early? 6 o'clock. No, it's too early. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Someone has another shiur? There's another shiur? Yeah? 10:30? 9:30? 9:30 is better? 9:30. How about 9:30? So, my turn. In Pesachim and Daf Lamed and Merala, it comes to the conclusion. Amar Rove, Gemara and Chavtes and Days presented a Machlokes Amoraim, but the Chametz de Pesach is bottled the Shishim or B'mashehu. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion on Lamed and Merala, the Chametz de Pesach is B'mashehu. The Pashup Shat is that this is only a Chumra Midrabbanan, and the Rishonim give different reasons for this Chumra Midrabbanan. Some say because it has Kores, unlike plain Isurim, which don't have Koris. Some say because Levidilian Shiminei, all year long we eat chametz, all year long we don't eat treifas, all year long we do eat chametz in order to make sure that people don't eat the chametz by mistake, so we have to exaggerate a little bit in the Chumrah of the Yisr. We have to say that it's B'mashu, different reasons. The Rambam has a different reason. So Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Tosfos quotes that some Rishonim had a different Girsa, the Shiltas, had the gears of the chametz is bottled b'shishim. So b'shas hatchag gadol, the achrayim say that we are mitzarif the gears of the shiltas, the rabbin tam's gears. If there were other snichim lahakel, we would say the chametz b'pesach would not be b'mashu. But basically, that's how we pass from like the gemara. The chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. This, of course, is only if the chametz was mitzarif the pesach. If the chametz was mitzarif kodem pesach, then it's not b'mashu. This shaila comes up every pesach. Chametz b'pesach b'mashu. It comes up in the following way. In Yerideya, there is a machlokes. Those along Yerideya will remember, there is a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ra'or. Well, before we get to the Rashba and the Ra'or, there is a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ra'or and regarding the nature of the din of Nesen Tam Levgam. Nesen Tam Levgam means like this. If you have a little chazashmals that fell into a pot of soup, vegetable soup, and it enhanced the flavor of the soup, it makes it taste more geschmack now that you have the chazashmal. So that's tam kiker. So we say that that asks. What happens if you have some kind of a soup or a spaghetti, and because the chazashmal fell in, so it doesn't taste as good as it tasted before. But it's not that it's absolutely awful. It's not horrid. It's still edible. It's still tasty. It's just that it would have tasted better if the chazashmal would not have fallen in. So that's what the Gemara calls nice and tam livgam. When the treifas falls in, and it's poigim b'miktsas, the flavor of the Meichel Heter. And the Gemara has a machlekes satanoim, a maseches over the Zohar, same machlekes over here, Pesachim. And we paskin that nois and tam levgam is mutter. Even though it's not nifsal mi'achilo sodom, or anything near that, but since it's poigim b'miktsas, that's enough to make it, to say that tam kika doesn't apply. So here there's a machlekes, the Pimigodim in Yerideh points out, Barichas, there's a machlekes between the Rav and the Rashbo. What's the Yisrael Adin of Nois and Tam Levgam based on? Is it based on Bittul Beroi, that the Yisr is Bottle Beroi? The only thing is that usually you would have said Tam Kiker, that since you can taste the flavor of the Chazashmals, I should say that it remains also here because of Nois and Tam Levgam, it doesn't taste as good as it tasted before without the Chazashmals, so the Din of Tam Kiker doesn't apply. So in the mail I revert back to the basic Din, we go back to the basic Din that you say Yisurim become bottle beroy. Is that what it's based on? Or perhaps it's based on something totally different, that when you have a piece of ham, when you have a piece of non-kosher food that becomes so rotten, so spoiled, that it sniffs on me'achil osodom, it's inedible, then it turns into heter, Iman Manzat from the Pasuk. So here if you have taruvus of isir, it's not an isir b'yen. Taruvus of isir means you have more than 50% of heter, and less than 50% of Issa blended in, and it's not niker. You can't separate, you can't pick out, here's the Issa, here's the Heta. Taruvus by definition means that it's not niker, and it's less than 50%, that's by definition Taruvus. So then, you don't need such a sheer nifsam yachil osarim to say that it's nepach lios heter. As long as it's pregnant in mixas, then Allah says also that it's muta. But it's not that it's muta, not that it's muta based on the bitul beroiv, and the din of tam kika doesn't apply. The din is that an Issa B'yen has to be Pagam, you have to have Pagam Rabbah, you have to have a big Pagam of Nifsal Me'achil HaSodom. If it's only an Issa B'tarubis, then a Pagam Zut is sufficient. If it's Nois and Tam Levgam, that's enough. So that Machlokes HaRishonim has enough Kaminim in a Ger to Hilchas Pesach. What would the Din be by Nois and Tam Levgam on Pesach? Chavis b'Pesach, we are machmir, according to the way we have the gears in the Gemara. Unless it's a big shas ha'pchak, then you mitzar different sniff from the hakel. But under normal conditions, we're machmir to say that Chavis b'Pesach is b'mashahu, that it's not bottle at all. So what would you say regarding Noisin Tam Lugam b'Pesach? This was a problem in different communities in Europe. When the Goyim wanted lahachis the Jews, they used to throw in rolls of bread. They used to throw in bread into the wells. So when the Jews would draw the water on Pesach, it would be full of crumbs. So the question is, if you would filter out all of the water, you would be able to remove the crumbs. The only thing is that you would still have a flavoring. You would still have an asinas tam of the bread into the water. But the tam of bread and water, the Rishonim say, is nice and tam levgam. The water would have tasted better. Fresh water tastes better if it doesn't have any flavoring of stale bread. The fact that it has the flavoring of the stale bread is pekin and mitzvah. If the din of nice and tam levgam is based on bittel beroiv, you have a bittel beroiv chad betray, and halacha of tam kika doesn't apply when it's nice tam levgam, so then bittel beroiv doesn't apply, chametz b'pesach. So if you draw the water on Pesach and you find that it has crumbs, all the filtering is not going to help because it's chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. But if the din of nais and tam levgam being mutter is not based on bittel beroi, but rather based on the halacha, that if the treifas would have been nifsal me'achilas hakeler, if chametz b'pesach nifsal me'achilas hakeler, or all the other isurim nifsal me'achilas ha'odom. So something is at isa v'yen, and it has a pegam rabo, so then it's nepach v'yoseter, it no longer maintains isa, it's not called oichel. So if it's only an Issa b'taruvis, then it doesn't require a pegam rabba. If it has a pegam zuta, that's enough to say that it's Issa netach liyosetah. So then even chametz b'pesach, we would also say that nesan tam levgam is muta. So that's a machlekes harishonim, and that's a machlekes tesis in the end of Avodah Zarah, raises the question, machlekes tesis in Iran, and in the Shulchan Aruch, that's machlekes the Mechaber and the Ramah. Mechaber says in Hilchos Pesach, Mechaber writes that nesan tam levgam b'pesach is muta, that is not based on bittul. And the Ramah says no, that the Ashkenaz Mahmachmed and Nesan Tam Levgam is based on Bittul. So that Shaila was a common Shaila in Europe. Didn't come up yet in America. It's not so common in America that the Goyim are throwing in bread lahakas into the wells. We don't drink water from the wells. It could be that they're throwing in bread into the reservoirs and the water is being filtered out on Pesach. We don't know. Maybe that's what's happening. We don't know. But okay, we hope that's not what's happening. Okay. But what does come up every single Pesach is the following Shaila. There's now a Shaila Agabi Shaila. The Gemara also says in the Maseches Avodah Zarah as well as in Pesachim, what if I cook some kosher food in a pot, which is a treifa pot, which hasn't been used for treifas in 24 hours? That's what the Gemara calls a pli, Sheina Ben Yomo. Somebody cooked treifas in the pot 25 hours ago, and today he cooks some kosher food in the pot. So the Gemara says that b'di'eved, the kosher food does not become treif, because a bliya that's sitting in the Charsus HaKdeira, in the Dofne HaKdeira, the treif of bliya that's sitting in the walls of the pot for more than 24 hours, becomes noisin tam levgam. And when I'm going to cook the kosher food today, this treif of bliya that's going to go into the kosher food will not answer, because noisin tam levgam is mutter. So that's a shaila now, a sofik al gabi sofik. According to the Ramah, who says that we are machmir, our nesim tam levgam b'pesach, is that only that we're machmir if you have water that has crumbs of bread in it? Even if you filter out all of the bread from the water, I still say that if nesim tam levgam asas chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. What about the din of a kli sheina ben yomo, that we call that also nesim tam levgam? Is that the same kind of nesim tam levgam? That the bliyad in the charsis hakdere, when it goes into the kosher food that I cook today, this happens every Pesach. When the wife goes away for a few hours and the husband wants to cook something, the husband doesn't remember that these are chametz dikikelim, these are pesach dikikelim. So it happens every year somebody or another asks the shaila, by mistake the husband cooked some pesach dikikelim in a chametz dikikelim, which obviously was ein ben yomo. The chametz dikikelim has been put away, hasn't been used for the last 2 days, the first 2 days yontif. And this year is going to be 2 days yontif and Shabbos. Then the wife goes with a chalamoy just for 5 minutes. The husband cooks something, and all year long he cooks in a chametz dikat pot. It doesn't occur to him that a Pesach is not supposed to cook in a chametz dikat pot. But the chametz dikat pot hasn't been used in more than 24 hours. So the shaila is whether the bliya of the chametz dikat bliya of a kli sheina ben yomo is treated as a noisin tam levgam. Is that the same noisin tam levgam as the crumbs in the water? Is that the same kind of noisin tam levgam that the Ramos says lechumra? And maybe over here, this is a different kind of a nesan tam levgam. The Ra'or, Rabban Alevi, wrote Hasokas on the Rajba Sefer. Rashi wrote a sefer that's called Teres Abayis. How to keep a kosher home. So he had, it tells Hilchos Shechita and Hilchos Melicha, how to salt the meat, and Hilchos Basa B'Cholov, and Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha, all the Hilchos Tvilas Kelim, Hechshe Kelim, all the dinim that you have to know, the whole Yerideya. The first two Chalokim Yerideya are based on the Rashba's Teres Abayis. And Rabban Alevi, who was a contemporary of his, they both learned by the Ramban, they were both Talmidim of the Ramban, Rabban Alevi has Hasogis on the Teres Abayis that is called the Berek Abayis. Berek Abayis means he picks up the breaches in the house. The house is falling down, so he's fixing up. So he holds that the Teres Abayis is full of holes. He's fixing up all the holes. He makes a lot of holes. The Rabban makes a lot of holes in the Teres Abayis. He disagrees. Every other page he disagrees with something or another that the Rashba says. So the Ra'or disagrees with the Rashba and the Teres Abayis on the understanding of this din of a Kli Sheinu Ben Yomo having the status of Nes and Tam Lav Gam. He says it's an underhood. He says that scientifically, if you would be able to isolate, if you'd be able to remove the treif of Bliya from the pot that is sitting there for 24 hours before it mixes into the kosher food that you're cooking today, even if you wouldn't cook any kosher food, if you would just isolate the Bliya from the pot, you would be able to realize that the fact that it sat for 24 hours in the Charsis HaKdere was pergamid at the Gam Rabbah, and it's nifsam the achilos adam mamish, nifsam achilos hakelet. It's awful tasting. It's terrible. That's why it's going to make a pegam zuta. That's why whatever food you're going to cook today, the treif of bli is going to be pegam mit b'miktsas, because if you would be able to isolate it, usually you can't. If you'd be able to isolate the bli, you would see that it's nifsal me'achila legamre mikolakom. So that's the shaila. Do we understand the getter? Do we understand like that, Ra'or? That cliche in the ben yomo is that kind of a nurse in tamla gam, that it's a pegam rabo? Then it's muta b'tesach also? If the chametz kodem haPesach is nusam achilas hakelah, then it's mutar haPesach. Or should you say no? The pshat is like the Rashba, the bli and the doifen akdi and the doifen akdeira didn't become nifsam meachilas adam. No, if you'd be able to isolate it, it'd still be royal achilas adam. The only thing is, whatever food you're going to cook in the pot is going to be fresh food. You're going to cook vegetables, so you're going to cook coffee, you're going to cook chicken, whatever. Whatever food you're going to cook is going to be fresh and tasty and delicious. And this thing is going to be pagan at the mikzas because it has this metallic flavor to it, because it's sitting in the metal of the kli for 24 hours, or it has the flavor of the charsis hakdeira, the earthenware flavor of the charsis hakdeira. So it's always going to be pagan at mikzas. So that also, the Ramah is machma achumra agabi chumra. The Ramah, not only do we say chametz b'pesach is b'mashahu, that's our gears in the Gemara, as everybody knows, you pass chametz b'pesach is b'mashahu. The Ramah paskins against the Mechaber that Nesin Tam Lav Gam is also considered a Mashu. And then the Ramah goes a step further. This we don't have in our Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes it already from the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour, that we are also Machmar on a Kli Sheinu Ben Yomo, that we don't say that that's more of a Heter. We say Kli Sheinu Ben Yomo is also considered a regular Nesin Tam Lav Gam, and Nesin Tam Lav Gam, the Heter, is based on Bittel Beroid, and Chametz B'Pesach is going to be the Mashu. So the husband succeeds in ushering the food on Pesach. Yeah. So let's say he takes out the frying pan. The husband doesn't realize. Takes out the chametz b'dikah frying pan, cracks open an egg, and they're only Pesach b'dikah forks around. So he takes the Pesach b'dikah fork, whatever you use. I haven't fried eggs in a long time. I'm afraid I may make everything trick. So you take a Pesach b'dikah fork or a knife and you toss around the food there. And you fried it in a chametz b'dikah pot. So the Ramah would say that the eggs that you just fried in the chametz b'dikah pot are awesome. Now what about the Pesach b'dikah fork and the Pesach b'dikah knife? Also awesome. Because it gets a chametz b'dikah bliya sheinu ben yomo from the Pesach b'dikah pot. It goes into the eggs and it goes into the knife or into the fork that you're tossing it with. So you just made your fork and your knife chametz b'dikah. So you can't use it. So what do you have to do? You have to kasher it. So you kasher it on chalmoy. Made a trade for Chalamoy. Can you kasher it on Chalamoy? So Tosfos in the end of Avodah Zarah, the last half of Avodah Zarah, raises a problem. How do you ever kasher anything? Let's say I have a tray for spoon. Somebody by mistake was stirring tray for soup with a spoon, and the spoon became tray. So how do you kasher the spoon with Hagolah? Let's say. So when you do Hagolah, the bliya goes out from the spoon into the water. What's going to prevent the bliya from going back into the spoon? So Tosfos in Chulin has one opinion on Kuv Pesach. Basically, there's one opinion based on the Lashon HaGemara there that when the spoon is busy spitting out the trefa flavor, it has no time to absorb back any trefa flavor from the water. So Tosfos uses the expression that the Gemara back the trefa bleed that it spit out into the water. How can you make such a scientific statement? So Tosfos doesn't like that answer. So how do you ever kasha anything? Whenever you kasha anything, the bleed is going to go, trefa bleed is going to go out, and it's going to go back in. So what's going to prevent it from coming back in? So Tosfos says, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that the answer is, whenever you kasha something, you have to have shishim in the water against the spoon. So find